I don't know how many of you have watched that TV series on TV. It's called Blackout. A group of ex-convicts and criminals have banded together, and their plan is to rob a major bank. And the way they're doing this is by bringing blackouts to the city so that all the computer functions shut down. However, they of course need the mind of a computer programmer to be able to bypass all these security features to black out the city of Los Angeles. And these ex-cons and these criminals have abducted a computer programmer who, by the way, happened to hack into the Pentagon security system, and his girlfriend. Now, when this computer programmer decides that he doesn't want to do what these criminals want him to do, they threaten the life of his girlfriend. It's the old adage, you do what we say or she dies. Now, in this letter that Paul is writing to the Roman church, Paul simply tells us, either we turn to Jesus or we die. In chapters 1 to 3 of Romans, Paul shows us that every one of us are an enemy of God. In the second half of chapter 3 and into chapter 4, Paul went on to tell us that although there is nothing in you and I that we can do to make peace with God, God has provided a way for us by sending his Son, Jesus. Naturally, people then started firing questions at Paul, or at least Paul was presuming questions that people would ask him. And so last week we picked up on the question, why then follow Jesus? What's the big deal about Jesus? Why not just follow someone else? And if you've missed those talks, they're all available on our website, and you can download them and go and listen to them. But Paul says here, in chapter 5, from verse 12 onwards, obviously presupposing the question that people might ask him, how can you say that Jesus is the only way of salvation? How is it possible that one man at one point in history could bring salvation to the whole world? Surely, people might say, there are other options available to us. And certainly that's what our society believes. But Paul shows us without a doubt that if we do not accept Jesus and follow him, we will lose our lives. Look at Paul's argument there. In verse 12, look how Paul begins, therefore, in other words, because of everything that Jesus has done for you who were enemies of God, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in true Pauline fashion, he gets lost in his own thoughts, and comes back to answer his question in verse 18, because of this one man and his death, verse 18, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life to all men. Paul's argument is that sin came into the world by one man, therefore salvation comes into the world by one man. Well, let's try and unpack Paul's argument here as we get stuck into this passage. My first point this morning, sin leads to death. Notice what Paul has to say about how sin entered the world. Again, verse 12. Just as sin entered the world through one man. Look at verse 15. The trespass of one man. Verse 16. The result of one man's sin. And verse 19. For just as through the disobedience of one man. I'm hoping that you're realizing that this one man that Paul is talking about is in fact Adam. You'll remember the story in the Garden of Eden. God had created this perfect world. In fact, God called this world very good. And he gave Adam and Eve a command, do not eat from this one tree. But Adam disobeyed that command, and as a result, sin entered the world through this one man. Paul tells us, as does the rest of the Bible, that Adam's sin was not just isolated to him. It has affected the whole world. One commentator suggests that this is like a sick person sharing their cold with another. Many of you know that I was sick a month or so ago, and yes, I have been accused of being too generous with my germs. I, one man, have affected lots of other people with the same cold that I had. I'm sorry if it was you. The difference here is that Adam committed one sin and as a result has infected the rest of mankind. So notice verse 19, for just as through the disobedience of one man, and then this little phrase, the many were made sinners. We are all sinners. I don't have to tell you that. I'm sure if you're honest with yourself, you know that. We have all rejected God and want to do what we want to do with no reference whatsoever to what God wants us to do. And that's exactly what Adam did in the Garden of Eden. However, the difference between my cold and affecting a few people and Adam's sin affecting the whole world is that Adam's sin is not just the common cold or flu. It's not just some little sickness that with the right medication and a couple of vitamins, you're back on your feet again. Paul tells us in no uncertain terms that because sin entered the world through one man, sin brought in death. And you'll see that in verse 12 and verse 21. See that? Verse 12, and death through sin. Verse 21, just as sin reigned in death. Sin is not just some little sickness that we apply a plaster to, take a few pills, and it all gets better. Sin leads to death. We've had another reminder of that just this week in our church with one of our elderly members passing away. Sin has brought in death. And as much as we like to deny it, as much as we try to delay the inevitable, death takes each and every one of us, without exception. You can be rich, you can be poor, you can be influential, you could be insignificant, you could be black, you could be white, you could be Chinese. You could be successful or you could be a beggar living on the street. Death comes to all people. And Paul says in verse 12, because of Adam's sin, death came to all men. Because all have sinned. Friends, sin is a deadly disease with no cure. And we are all infected. But all hope is not lost. And this is my second point this morning. Grace leads to life. Look what Paul says in verse 15. How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by grace? So something's happening here. And he says that overflowed to many. Verse 17, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness, notice this, reign in life. And verse 21, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring, not death, but eternal life. Paul's argument is that we are all sinners, We are all heading for death. Yet, throughout this passage in Romans 5, there are the words of gift and grace. If you want to do a quick count of them, I counted 5 apiece. 5 gifts, 5 graces. Now the word gift and the word grace often imply something that is undeserved, unearned, unwarranted. This is purely a gift from God. It's not something that we deserve. We are getting what we deserve because we are sinners. We deserve death. And that's what's coming our way. But God, through His grace, has given us a gift. A gift of life. Now, a few moments ago, I used the picture of us all being sick with sin and heading for death. There is no cure. But it is found in the gift that God sends us. The gift that He gave us. The gift that we don't deserve, but is available for us to take. All I have to do is reach out and take that gift. Think about this for a moment. You're lying in your hospital bed. I know some of you can envision that more than others of us can. But you're lying in your hospital bed, and the doctors have just come into the room and told you, sorry, but there's actually nothing more we can do to help you. We're going to give you another couple of weeks to live, and that's it. As you lie in your bed, no doubt you're feeling despondent, and you wish that there was some cure available. Then a day or two later, as you've been stressing and lying in your bed and stewing over this whole thing that you're going to die and there's nothing more the doctors can do, you notice your doctor standing at the door. And he comes in and he says, I've got someone that I'd like you to meet. And he introduces another doctor of his, a reputable doctor. And he says, my colleague here has got some good news for you. He has discovered a cure for what you have. All you have to do is take these few pills and you will be healed. Now what would you do? Would you lie in your bed and say, ha, gee, who are you? I don't know you, doctor. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to just throw the pills away or ignore it altogether. Perhaps you will take the pills, but when the doctor leaves the room, you'll throw them in the dustbin so you don't have to take them. Would you do that? That would be rather silly, wouldn't it? The doctor's just told you, here's a cure. Take it. I think the right approach would be, I'm dying. What have I got to lose? Let me take those pills. And in a similar fashion, that's what God has done for us. He's given us the gift of life. We are dying. There's no hope for us. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. But God has come in and given us a gift. Are we just going to sit here and say, ha, that's weird, I don't want that? Or are we going to say, I'm dying, let me take that, because that will give me life. So friends, have you accepted the gift of grace that God has given you? See, we might die physically, but the Bible clearly tells us that because Jesus has been raised to life, we will too. And we will then be able to live with God eternally if we accept this gift that God has given us. Yeah, we can continue to live our life in sin, but we'll die. Or we can turn to this gift that God has given us and live. Sin leads to death. God's grace leads to life. Now it seems that when Paul was writing this letter to the Romans, there was a large group of people around at the time who believed that if you did the right thing, if you obeyed the law, if you lived according to the law, then you would be saved. And in fact, many people think that today, don't they? Oh, and you ask people, you know, are you a Christian? Yeah, well, you know, I'm doing my best. And they think that if you do your best, you will be saved. But notice this is what Paul picks up on here in my third point. The law doesn't lead to salvation. The law leads to death or to judgment. Paul begins his discussion here by saying that it was not as a result of the law that people started sinning. For look at verse 13, he says, "For the law was given, for before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law." In other words, what Paul is saying is sin was here all along. The law was introduced not so that we now had something to break, but rather to show us how far short of what God expects of us we fall. Notice verse 20 where Paul explains this a little bit more. He says, "The law was added not so that we could be saved by keeping it, but so that the trespass might increase." See, what Paul is showing us is that there is no way of using the law to bring about our salvation. The only thing the law does is show us how sinful we are. God naturally expects us to keep his law, yes, and that's well and good. But if we are using God's law, trying our best to keep it, so that we might earn God's favor, we're doing it all the wrong way. I suppose another way of putting this is to say that the law only condemns us. The law leads to judgment. I'm pretty sure that this week each one of us broke some or other law. Perhaps it was a law of the land. Perhaps you jumped a stop street because you were in a rush. Perhaps you broke the speed limit. Perhaps you told a lie about somebody. Perhaps we didn't do it deliberately. Perhaps you weren't caught. But God sees everything that we do, and he will judge us. In one sense, God's law shows us how sinful we are. We condemn ourselves when we break God's law. We cannot be saved by God's law. We are condemned by the law. And Paul has told us that as sin entered the world through one man, like a disease, that has affected each and every person in this world. Paul has shown us that this sin leads to death. And he's shown us that the law of God, in fact, doesn't rescue us, but bangs another nail into our coffin. But Paul has also shown us that God has given us a gift of grace that leads to life. So lastly this morning, let's have a look at what this gift is. And my fourth point, Jesus leads to life. Almost every time Paul spoke about the gift of God's grace in this passage, he mentions the fact that our salvation is found in one man that God sent to us. So notice verse 15, "How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of one man," and then he tells us who that one man is, Jesus Christ. Verse 17, "How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" So also the result in verse 18 of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. Verse 19, "So also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous." And lastly, verse 21, "So also the grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." One man, Adam, brought sin into the world. The one man, Jesus, brings salvation into the world. But there is a difference. While Adam's sin affects all people in the world, Jesus' act of righteousness and his death on the cross only applies to those who accept the gift of God's grace. Jesus died for all people in this world, not just for a select few, but the privilege, the outcome of that is only felt by those who accept the fact and realize that they are sinful and turn to Jesus. It's only them who are saved. We have to accept what Jesus did for us on the cross. We have to believe that it was for me that he died, like we were singing earlier on. The glory of the cross, that you would send your son for us. How did the next bit go? I gladly count my life as loss, that I might come to know the glory of the cross. Jesus died for all people, but we have to accept that gift before it becomes ours. And when we do, we hand our lives over to Jesus and he takes control of them. Friends, what other religion in the world says that? What other religion in the world can save us from death? Be honest. There isn't another religion in the world that can save us from death. All they might do is say that we come back into this world in another form to try again. But Paul says to us here, death is the result of sin. Jesus frees us from death and brings us life. Keeping the law will not free us from punishment. It will just show us how much we fall short of God's glory. But God has given us this gift of life, a gift that we in fact don't deserve, so that we might have life. Now, friends, do you believe that? Do you understand what Paul's saying here? It's either Jesus or your life. Are you trying to earn your salvation? Obeying God's law, trying your best? Are you happy to let everyone go their own way to find salvation? Well, as long as you believe that, that's cool. I believe this. Friends, stop trying to earn your salvation. God has given it to us. Accept it and follow him. Stop thinking that all religions lead to God. Stop thinking that all religions save us from death. Believe that Jesus does. So as we've said, it's either Jesus or your life. In that TV show, Blackout, the computer programmer either does what the criminals want, or his girlfriend loses her life. Except in our case, it's not our friend who loses his life if we don't do what God does. We lose our own life. On the other hand, maybe you do believe this and what we've been speaking about this morning, that salvation is only found through Jesus. Then are you helping the sick people in this world to accept that free gift that Jesus is giving us? Dr. David Seckham, who was the principal of our college down in Cape Town, but who has also written a number of books, also one on Romans, has this to say. The Christian gospel brings the medicine to heal the plague of sin. Ignorance of medicine does not mean health. It just means unchecked disease and death. How vital then that the gospel be brought to every sick soul in the world as quickly as humanly possible. Friends, if you don't believe what we've been saying this morning, take note of what has been said here. you are heading for death unless you accept God's gift. But if you do believe this, then what about all those people that you know, that you come into contact with, who are heading for death? Are you bringing them the medicine of God's grace? We need help. We need to ask God for help. So let's pray and thank God for His grace. Let's pray and thank the Lord for sending His Son into this world so that we might be saved from sin and death. But let's also pray for those who are sick with sin, that we might be the bearers of the gospel. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before You this morning and we thank You for all Your goodness to us, Lord. We thank You for this fantastic passage which just shows us what You have done for us, Lord. How through Your Son You have given us life when we actually deserve death. And we thank You for that, Lord. We thank You that You have saved us from sin and from death. But Lord, we want to pray that You would help us to be able to bring this gift that You have given to us to those that we come in contact with. We pray and ask that You would speak to those who are heading for death, and that You would work in their hearts, and that You would help them to turn to You. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to You now as we go from here. In Your name, Amen.